This program is not being used to make diagnosis, administer treatment, prescribe medication, or order tests. The information contained in this program is provided as an educational service. This program is not a replacement for the relationship you have with your healthcare provider. If you have concerns about your health, please contact your healthcare provider immediately.
Hello, I'm Dr. Courtney Shelton, MD. I'm a board-certified internist and primary care physician. I am the medical director of Shelton Hospitalist Group. Welcome to the checkup on WCLK. I'll discuss important health issues facing all of us using my own experience and that of my guests to give you knowledge you can use to lead a healthier and happier life. My guest today is lifestyle dietitian Jalan Jones. And our topic today is nutrition and diabetes. March is National Nutrition Month, and Ms. Jones is here today on behalf of our friends at the Fulton DeKalb Hospital Authority. Welcome to the checkup.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, some things I really want to talk about today are nutrition and how it impacts diabetes. What's amazing is the number one cause of death worldwide is coronary artery disease. The risk factors for coronary artery disease that kills the most people every year are diabetes, hypertension, high cholesterol, tobacco, smoking, age, 45, 55, men and women, family history, obesity, and sedentary lifestyle. Those are the key things and the key risk factors that lead to the number one cause of death. And when you think about it, all of them are preventable except for age and genetics. I often tell my patients, you can't smoke. That's it. You can't. Genetics, we can't do much about. However, when you look at diabetes, hypertension, and hyperlipidemia, we'll call them the big three. We got to control the big three. And what's amazing is that they can be prevented.
Yes.
With treatment, proper nutrition, we'll call it. Medical nutritional therapy can treat, prevent, and even reverse this dangerous disease. This month is Nutrition Month. And today on the checkup, we're going to talk about the impact of the medical nutritional therapy on diabetes. Ms. Jones, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you chose a career in nutrition.
Well, that journey started about 13 years ago. I am currently the founder of the Lifestyle Dietitian LLC. And for the past 10 years, I have been assisting patients and clients with improving their health, those who have a range of chronic illnesses from diabetes to hypertension, high cholesterol, all of the illnesses that you just mentioned. It started because I've always been interested in nutrition and overall health and wellness. And a really great friend said, why don't you just take a class? Because I was working in another field. I have a master's degree in public administration, but that's not the field I was working in. I have several degrees before that, and decided, okay, let me try something different, something new. I took two classes, and that was it. That started my journey towards the career I'm in now, and applied and got into Teachers College, Columbia University, received a master's in nutrition education, also did my dietetic internship at Teachers College. And I haven't looked back. This is the field I was destined to be in. And so every day I'm just blessed that I get an opportunity to help people not only improve their health, but just feel better about themselves.
That's good, because it's interesting to hear how you're describing a master's in nutrition. Because in my medical background, it's amazing. Nutrition is not emphasized in medical school.
Mm-hmm.
We don't. Right. I might have had a lecture in 4 years of medical school that went into the details of nutrition. So, doctors, we're not always equipped unless you do outside learning and education. It's just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And I chose diabetes to talk about simply because diabetes is just growing so much in our community.
Yeah.
It's a number one cause of blindness, number one cause of non-traumatic amputations, chronic kidney disease and dialysis, painful neuropathy, heart attacks and strokes. Diabetes contributes to all of those in a major way. And as I'm learning and I continue to learn, medical nutritional therapy can have a significant impact. What do you think about that?
Oh, yes. I've seen it. And what it does is it's an individualized nutritional plan for people in general. It's not a one-size-fits-all, and that's where registered dietitian nutritionists come in to play, because we have the credentials, we have the training in order to make sure that our patients or clients are receiving that one-on-one attention. It takes nutrition and sees it as a part of their entire plan, not just one part with medicine or another part with physical activity, but it takes all those components together. So there might be one person who has we might focus on their carbohydrate intake, because that's really what you want to focus on with someone who has type 2 diabetes or trying to prevent having diabetes. And so you look at that and you make sure that they receive their adequate nutrition. So that's what we're doing. But it's all about making sure that these patients are motivated. So we help encourage them and motivate them to do that, because that is part of our training. This is what we're specialized in. So registered dietitian nutritionists are the nutrition experts. So definitely seek one out if your doctor has informed you that you need to make some changes in your life. Don't wait for someone to tell you to seek out a nutritionist or a registered dietitian nutritionist. You have to be proactive in your health. So I always say, you know, take it upon yourself, because your insurance may cover that. Even if it doesn't, I think that it's important to realize that your health is the number one priority you should have in your life, because if you don't have health, you don't have anything. So you have to prioritize that and make your health number one.
That's a very important point. I often tell my patients that you have to participate in your treatment plan.
Mm-hmm.
I have all the drugs in the world that we can give you, but that makes it more complicated, more side effects, and ultimately, you know, for the best outcomes to improve the patient's morbidity and mortality, in a better way, making sure they live long and well, they have to participate, and you have to change your lifestyle. And that begins with what we eat.
Yes.
What you mentioned, carbs. You know, we hear about carbs all the time, and you hear about all low carb diets, high fat diets. I think our listeners need to understand in a simple way, what are carbs?
Carbohydrates are foods that have sugar. So that is a variety. That is majority of the foods that we eat. For example, bread, pasta, rice. Those are well-known carbohydrates. Dairy products such as yogurt and milk are also carbohydrates. Beans are carbohydrates. Some people are surprised about that. And then you have what we call our starchy vegetables such as potatoes, corn, and peas. And your sweetened beverages or sweets in general. So your soda, your sweet teas, lemonade, orange juice, those are all carbohydrates. And we can't forget your candy, cookies, pies.
That's right. That's right.
Those are carbohydrates. So there are carbohydrates that you do want to make sure you're eating. We call them complex carbohydrates. Those are ones usually high in fiber. And you want to minimize or eliminate those simple carbohydrates like the sweetened beverages, the cookies, the cakes. We call those treats. So carbohydrates aren't bad. They're not evil. You shouldn't avoid them. We cannot survive without carbohydrates. They're our source of fuel. Your body cannot run or have the energy if you don't have carbohydrates. Now, you can survive on low carb, and that's where majority of people who are watching their glucose intake, We do highly recommend that. But you need the supervision of your doctor and also registered dietitian nutritionist, because you want to make sure you get the adequate nutrition that you need. And so you're not saying, okay, I can have carbohydrates. That means maybe potato chips. No, we would probably recommend more of potato instead of the potato chips. So, and then you want to know what those portion sizes are, because you may, if you have type 2 diabetes, for example, you may be on, have two carbohydrates per serving, two carbohydrates per meal. And then you want to know what those serving size are. So there's a lot to think about. It can be somewhat overwhelming initially. However, working with a dietitian, they will help you overcome the barriers you may have and help you with making sure that you're selecting the appropriate nutrition or appropriate carbohydrates for you to have.
Another good question, in just keeping in line with energy, carbs, fat, and protein are all energy that our bodies use to function.
Yes.
You hear about good fat, bad fat. Can you talk a little bit about that for us?
Yes. So the what we call the good fats are our unsaturated fats. That's our polyunsaturated fats, our monounsaturated fats. Example of those are avocados, extra virgin olive oil. We have canola oil, sunflower oil. Nuts are a really good source of those unsaturated fats. So that can be really a good part of our overall nutritious eating plan. And then we have the bad fats, and that's our saturated fats, our trans fats. Examples of saturated fats are your beef, any fatty foods. So if you're frying foods, that's saturated fat. Trans fats are also found predominantly in our baked goods. So if you see those, I'm not pointing out any products, but if you see those ho-hos or ding-dongs or Twinkies, those have trans fats in them. Fortunately, our government is doing away with trans fats. So over the next couple of years, you'll see trans fat slowly being taken away from our food products, which is very helpful. But you still have to read the label, because there's going to still be a small percentage of trans fat. They just don't have to label it as trans fat. They can label it as zero trans fat, and it still can have a little bit in it. What I tell my patients is that when you look at the ingredients on the Nutrition Facts label, look for partially hydrogenated fats or oils and put it back if you see that, okay? Because that is trans fats, and that can be your creamer. So if your creamer, you buy it off the shelf, it's shelf stable. Most creamers do have the partially hydrogenated fats. So
the creamer for the coffee?
The creamer for the coffee.
That little creamer that I love to use in
my coffee. Yeah. So another alternative is just buying the refrigerated half and half. So there, you know, I don't tell my patients or clients what they can't have. What I like to do is tell them what they can have. And so we always talk about alternatives or substitutions so you don't feel deprived, because that's the reason why some people don't seek out help from anyone, because they want to enjoy food. Food is pleasurable, and they don't want to see they don't want to be miserable. And but if you give them other choices and they can still have their little goodies and treats, then everyone is happy. It's a win-win.
What about good old-fashioned butter?
Good old-fashioned butter. Butter has gotten a bad rap, right, over the years.
Has.
And we're going back and forth with fat. It's so interesting because I have to keep up with all of the latest research. And 30, 40 years ago, butter was bad for you. Now it's good for you. Mm. There's butter in everything, even in your coffee, that bulletproof coffee. Well, you still have to be careful with, it's still a fat, it's a saturated fat. I'd rather for you to lose a little bit of butter. You don't need that much, just maybe a teaspoon of butter if you want to flavor certain foods with it. I'd rather for you to use that instead of the margarine, even though there are plant-based margarines out there now. But a little butter can definitely go a long way, especially for our seniors who may not be eating as well as they should, and so they need a little bit more fat. So it depends on the individual. But there's also other types of what we called spreads, such as Benecol has plant stenols, and that has been shown to help lower, decrease your LDL, which is your bad cholesterol. So there's so many options out there. If you're unsure, again, you want to seek the help of a registered dietitian nutritionist, because you can hear from one website can say something, and then another website says something totally different, and then you just don't know. You're a little confused. But butter is definitely can be part of your overall eating plan, but you just want to use a small amount.
And what about protein? We hear so much about low protein, high protein diets. It seems like protein is in everything, and looked at in a positive way. But protein can be bad in certain type of patients that might have kidney problems or other diseases.
Mm-hmm.
How, and just keeping in line with talking about carbs and fat, can you talk about protein as well?
Yeah, so protein is our third macronutrient, along with the carbohydrates and the fats. Protein is definitely a part of our meal plan. We need protein. You can't survive again without it. However, look for the lean protein and look for more maybe plant-based protein. So we always want to focus on our chicken and beef
steak
and turkey. There you go. Yes. We focus on that, but there are great sources of protein that are plant-based. Do you know how many beans there is? A variety of beans besides just, you know, maybe your black beans or your kidney beans. There's black-eyed peas. There's chickpeas. There is a plethora of beans out there and legumes like lentils. So instead of focusing on those type of animal protein, there's plant-based, there's tofu, there's edamame. So you do need protein. And if you're looking at your plate, there is a source called My Plate, and you can Google that. But what it means is that half your plate is full of vegetables with a little bit of fruit. A quarter of your plate is where you have the lean protein. So the lean protein is there, but it's just a quarter of your plate, or we like to say a deck of cards, or maybe you look at the palm of your hand. So there are different ways to measure that. And then a quarter of your plate is your carbohydrates. So if you have elevated glucose levels, type 2 diabetes, pre-diabetes, I always recommend anytime you have a carbohydrate, you want to have a lean protein. And that means for any meals or snacks. So if you love to have, you know, smoothies, you want to add a little protein to that smoothie. That could be some nuts. That can be some milk, a little bit of yogurt. If you have a fruit for a snack, add a little protein with that fruit. That could be a hard-boiled egg. That could be a handful of almonds. You always want to have protein every time you eat. And if you do have issues with your kidney, then will need a little bit less protein, and then you can talk to a registered dietitian nutritionist for those other options.
I love cashews. Are there nuts that are better than others? Like a macadamia, is that better as far as, let's say, its medicinal properties or nutritional value?
Yeah, all nuts, they do have a variety of different nutrients. There isn't one nuts or seeds that are better than the other. But there are portion sizes of nuts. So, for instance, because they're all different sizes. So let's take, for instance, Brazil nuts. Brazil nuts are really good in selenium. However, they're bigger than a peanut. So you're going to need less Brazil nuts than peanuts. I know offhand, I believe a serving of Brazil nuts is 7. So that's, you count out 7 nuts. That's your portion size. But with peanuts, you can have 46. So you count out 46 peanuts. Same thing with almonds. About 23 almonds is your serving size. You count out 23. There you go. Nuts are a good source of fat, but they're still fat. And fat is higher in calories than a carbohydrate or protein. So you do want to limit your the amount of nuts and seeds that you have.
What are the current guidelines for carb, fat, and protein consumption for our patient with diabetes type 2?
Oh, do you mean the overall percentage?
Yeah, the percentages. And can you describe what that might even look like for a breakfast, lunch, and dinner?
Yes. So when you break it down, you want it to equal about 100%. So we usually recommend, this is on average, 40 to 60% of what you eat should be carbohydrates. And then 20 to 30% should be protein. And then 10% or less should be your fat. Everybody is different depending on their fitness level, depending on how many calories they should have per day. So it's all individualized, but that is really the standard, and the average is based on those numbers. When it comes to people who are living with diabetes, really you want to look at each meal and your snack. So in the morning time, you may have up to 3 carbohydrates per meal. So that means, and it includes your beverage. So that might mean an apple, like a fruit. And then also if you want to drink something, then you can have, for instance, coffee with a little bit of sugar, because I count sugar as your carbohydrate serving. And then you can also have like maybe 2 slices of 100% whole wheat bread. So that's your carbs. The rest of your food is going to be protein with a little bit of fat. You know, if you're living with diabetes, your eating plan shouldn't be that much different from anyone else. And I have to convince my patients that you aren't doing really anything different than anybody else should do. Just for you, you're just being more conscious and aware of what you're eating at each meal, which I think everyone should be doing. No one should eat a whole plate of spaghetti. That is just too much food. Such as same thing with rice. No one should eat a whole plate of rice, whether or not you are watching your glucose intake or you're not. So you are just really making sure that you are eating according to your glucose levels. And then you're just being conscious. So everyone is different, but that's just average of what you should be eating.
When you think of how we celebrate, when somebody gets married, we eat. And when somebody dies, we eat. We celebrate with food.
Oh, yes.
So it's very important to, as you mentioned, how do we keep the enthusiasm around food when, you know, because sometimes when I tell patients, hey, you need to lose weight, you need to cut down your carbs or whatever, and they think they just eat a plate full of broccoli. and so it's so important to you know, and you can speak to that, to keep people enthusiastic and not limitations so they can keep them motivated, you know, for success.
Yes, you do have to be motivated to make these changes. So there is going to be something in your life that you're going to celebrate, and that is just life, whether it is a wedding, a graduation, the holidays. There's always a holiday coming up. But it could be a part of your meal plans, and you just have to plan ahead. So if you know that your favorite aunt is cooking, you know, her famous pie or cake, then you have to be aware what else that you're eating. So, but you still want to make sure you're eating more of your nutritious foods. Get those vegetables in. And maybe not have that piece of bread. You're going to have a cake instead, or you're not going to have any juice or the sweetened beverages because you want that cake. And then with that cake, you still want to make sure it's an appropriate slice. So you're not giving up anything. It's just that you are alternating what you're going to eat. So you can still enjoy those treats. You can have a treat every single day. There's some people, they're never going to give up their desserts. However, you can make that a part of your meal. So if you know that you like to eat a piece of candy at the end of the day, then you have to make sure that all the other meals you are eating more nutritious. So then you can have that piece of candy. I don't look at it as like this is a reward. I look at it as this is just a part of what you're going to do and who you are. And that keeps you motivated, because if you know that you can have something that you enjoy, then you're more apt to stay motivated. And also, I don't believe in cheat days. Unfortunately, people.
How about a cheat meal?
A cheat meal. You could sabotage yourself with that cheat meal. That's why I say you can treat yourself to something every day, because then you don't have to worry about an entire cheat meal because you're having a treat regardless. Those cheat meals can turn into cheat days, can turn into cheat weeks. I don't encourage my patients or clients to have a cheat anything. I just say, you know what? You're going to have whatever you enjoy having. Make sure it's just appropriate amount. And then the rest of the time you're eating more nutritious foods.
What about sugar substitutes? Splenda. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the others.
There's Sweet and Low, Equal. There's Stevia now. That's a low-calorie sweetener. Mm-hmm.
What is your take? Because I have some patients where they may substitute and drink diet beverages with all that fake sugar.
Yes.
How do you feel about that?
Yeah, that is very, it's controversial and it's also very confusing. There are five known artificial sweeteners that have been approved by the FDA, which is a Food Drug Administration. And so they've been deemed safe to intake. When it comes to the artificial sweeteners, we have to realize there are some possible health effects to it, some really positive health effects, such as tooth decay or cavities. It can definitely help with weight management, and it can help with our patients who are having glucose levels, because it's zero calories and no sugar. However, the concerns is that you think that because you have a diet soda that you're allowed to have French fries, or you're allowed to have something else with that because your beverage has zero calories. Also, you can studies have shown that you can crave more sweet things, because artificial sweeteners are 200 to 500 times sweeter than sugar. So your body gets used to that sweetness, and over time, you start eating more sweet foods. So those are the concerns with that. And so what I do is I recommend my patients, if they can't stop having sugar in their coffee, in their teas, over maybe oatmeal or cereal, I'll recommend stevia. It's a plant-based sweetener, and I should start with that and see, but maybe have half the packet. But really, I focus on just let's cut back on the sugar.
Right.
You know, and one sugar is not better than the other. Coconut sugar, organic sugar, brown sugar, agave nectar, they're all sweeteners. They're not better than something else. They will still raise your glucose levels. Just because it's natural doesn't mean it's healthier. So overall, the artificial sweeteners can be a part of your eating plan and for you to cut back on the sugars. But you have to be aware that right now we don't know the long-term effects of the artificial sweeteners. So if you are concerned about that, then I would say try to wean yourself off the sugar, or you can try something more natural like stevia.
Well, thank you, Ms. Jones, for sharing all this wonderful information. We have to do this again because I still have more questions.
And, okay.
and it stimulated more questions. So if our listeners wanted to learn more, how can they get in contact with you?
You can definitely find me on internet. I have a website. It's called The Lifestyle Dietitian, www.thelifestyledietitian.com. I'm also on social media at Facebook and Instagram at The Lifestyle Dietitian, and I'm on Twitter at Jalan Nutrition.
Thanks again, Ms. Jalan Jones, who appeared today on behalf of Fulton DeKalb Hospital Authority. You've been listening to The Checkup. I'm Dr. Courtney Shelton. You can listen to this program on demand at WCLK.com. I can be reached at Shelton Hospitalist Group, located at 315 Boulevard, Northeast in Atlanta, or by phone, 678-705-2355, or you can like us on Facebook at Shelton Hospitalist Group, LLC. The Checkup is produced by Dr. Courtney Shelton, Janice Shelton, and Rob Maynard for WCLK. Thanks for listening.